You might know Dave Foley from his recent work as the host of the Bravo TV show Celebrity Poker Showdown. Or maybe you remember him as the news director on the Situation Comedy News Radio. But Dave Foley first came to attention as one-fifth of the Kids in the Hall, a sketch comedy group from Canada. The Kids in the Hall revolutionized sketch comedy from 1989 to 1994 with their television show. It aired on HBO, CBS, and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. The fourth season of the Kids TV show has just been released on DVD. And to the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gordon had the chance to talk to his fellow Canadian, Dave Foley, about the Kids in the Hall.
My line, I hardly ever get out. See, I'm an axe murderer. So I usually work indoors. You know, privacy and all. Yeah. I mean, beautiful day like today, and I'm stuck inside, you know, just chopping up this couple. I mean, a nice young couple. He's a cable installer, and she's a dentist. There aren't a lot of women dentists. I don't know why that is. Gee, I guess there's one fewer now, huh?
That's Dave Foley as the axe murderer. And that's just a sample of the smart, subversive, and surreal sketch comedy that Foley created with his four fellow Canadians, the Kids in the Hall. The Kids in the Hall took their name from the Jack Benny program. Benny used to say that some of his jokes came from young writers hanging around the studio, who he described as the Kids in the Hall. But that is about as obvious as the kids get in terms of their comedy influences, as Dave Foley told me.
Our way of honoring the stuff that we really like, people like Python and SCTV, was to try to not be like them at all. They did what they did really well, so we had to try and find a new way of doing it. We didn't want to feel like we were ever copying the people we liked. So, you know, in that regard, yeah, there was a conscious desire to be different from the comedy that influenced us. But more than anything, it was just that we wanted to do stuff that didn't bore us, you know? We just, you know, a lot of the comedy that was going on when we started out seemed pretty tame and boring. It was all part of the punk rock days. We just wanted to see if there was a way to shake up what sketch comedy was a little.
How did the kids decide what material made for good sketch comedy?
Each of us felt like the other four guys could make us laugh harder than anybody else. And so if we came up with an idea that made them laugh, then that was all we needed to know. Even then, it was, you know, if it made like two or three of us laugh, that's all that mattered. Sometimes if it made all five of us laugh, then we really knew we were onto something. That rarely happened. We never approached it as though we were ever going to succeed. The Kids in the Hall was a place to just do exactly what we wanted. And by doing that, we sort of got further and further down the road. So by the time we got to TV, it just was our habit to pretty much only pay attention to ourselves and what we wanted to do.
The Kids in the Hall spent 3 years developing their work in front of live audiences at the Rivoli Theatre in Toronto during the mid-80s. Then their fellow Canadian Lorne Michaels, the creator of Saturday Night Live, discovered the kids. Michaels got them a television deal. Dave Foley says that there's more creative freedom in doing comedy for TV as opposed to comedy for film.
It's freer not because the people that run it are any more liberal or respectful of talent, but because the schedules are so tight that there's far less time for people to come in and ruin things. Once you've got a TV show running, it's very hard for the network to really keep track of what you're doing.
Yeah, because you're so busy feeding the beast and the insatiable appetite every week.
Yeah, so as long as it fills up the 22 minutes, a lot of the time things can slide and you can do much more intelligent stuff on TV. We had more freedom doing the Kids in the Hall show than we had doing the Kids in the Hall movie.
Brain Candy.
Yeah, when we did Brain Candy, it was really the first time in our career that we had people from the outside trying to tell us what to do, and we had to get approval from people when we wanted to change stuff.
Are there any other advantages to doing short-form sketch comedy for television?
Well, you definitely don't have to worry about why should we like this character, which is, I think is the one question that destroys more comedy than any other question that's ever asked in a meeting, is why should we care about this person? That usually leads to sort of a ham-fisted bit of pathos being tacked on to every character ever put into a movie, where you'll have a character who's a complete ass for 90 minutes, but then at the last second does one nice thing. There's definitely that pressure. And in a sketch, you don't have to worry about that. You're allowed to do characters that aren't likable.
The kids created an incredible cast of characters, most of whom are very likable. All five of the kids are very gifted actors. I'd go so far as to describe them as comedy chameleons who vanish into their characters. This commitment to character is one of the things that makes the kids' comedy so distinctive and so funny. Two of my favorite kids' characters are Lex and Dean, played by Foley and Kevin MacDonald. In the first Lex and Dean sketch, things get out of hand when Dean doesn't return Lex's video.
You were supposed to meet me at the restaurant at 8 o'clock. Where were you?
Slipped my mind. But I feel horrible about the whole thing.
No! I don't want to hear it! You're the king of empty promises, you know that, man? What we're gonna do now is we're gonna go to your house and we're gonna get my stuff, understand?
I have to take my friend home first. But I'll tell you what. I'll bring your mahogany video, the Godfather video, the Paul Simon tape, a bottle of scotch, and a written apology. I'll meet you in a half hour.
Okay.
Sorry I had to crack the whip. Forget it.
Shouldn't you have told him I live in Winnipeg?
Slipped my mind.
The character's sort of based on Paul Bellini, originally, who you may have seen in A Towel on our show. And Paul was also a writer on the show. So the attitude was kind of Paul's, like, overwhelmingly relaxed approach to everything. He would just be very quiet and still when everyone else was yelling and screaming. That came from Paul Bellini. And the King of Empty Promises, part of that character is Kevin. Basically, that's Kevin is the King of Empty Promises. He will, anything Kevin tells you he's definitely going to do, you can just count on him never doing it.
Which explains why I'm still waiting for my Paul Simon album and bottle of scotch.
Yeah. I have a truckload of things he owes me that he's promised. And then my character was just basically, we had to come up with a straight man for him, and I just sort of came up with that character.
Yeah, and it's a great character. They're both great characters, and the relationship between them is great and very funny. And I've always wondered, Dave, if you were originally going to play the more stoic part of Dean and if Kevin was originally going to play the more frazzled Lex, because it seems to me that that's one of the things that makes these characters so funny. It seems that you and Kevin are both playing each other's roles, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Dean is more of a deadpan character. I'm more known for that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And definitely when we were doing it, we were conscious of the fact that we were kind of reversing our roles. Actually, it's two of my favorite characters to play on the show as well.
Dave Foley told me how the kids in the hall developed their material.
Scott and Mark would almost always start from a character. There'd be a character, especially with Mark, a voice that he has that he wants to try out, and then he tries to find a scene to put the character in. Bruce was much more about having sort of a weird idea, and he'll like want to explore this odd idea. Kevin and I were much more about, we usually like to know what the hook of the sketch was, and then once we knew what the hook of the sketch was, then we would figure out the characters and the dialogue after that. Mm-hmm. Kevin and I had a sketch called Citizen Kane, which was just about two guys sitting in a diner, and one of them's trying to remember the name of a movie, and the movie's obviously Citizen Kane, but he won't admit it. However, many times his friend tells him, no, that movie was Citizen Kane. He just won't acknowledge it. Basically, once we had the hook of somebody who just won't accept when the information's given to him, that sketch took about as long to write as it took us to perform it.
It's sis.
No, not sis. Not sis.
Citizen Kane. It's sis. Citizen Kane.
Psycho. No, it's psycho.
No, it isn't psycho.
It's psycho.
No, it is psycho. Is this about a motel owner who's crazy and kills a woman in a shower?
No, I just told you. It's about this newspaper tycoon. He had a sled named Rosebud, and they're all trying
to figure
it out.
Then I guess it wasn't psycho, was it?
No, it wasn't psycho.
It was Citizen Kane?
No, it was Angela, Angels.
No, it wasn't The Trouble with Angels, no. That's a Haley Mills vehicle, that's not even close.
The Front Page.
Oh, The Front Page is a comedy. Did you laugh once?
No.
Then I guess it wasn't The Front Page, was it?
Well, what the hell was it then?
The kids in the hall often played female characters and were very convincing in drag, especially Foley.
First off, that's one of the few things the group never fought about, was that I was the best looking in drag. It really came about as a matter of necessity. When we started out, we wound up with five guys in the group, and we tried to get some women to join the group early on when we were in the clubs. A couple of women came in and did shows with us, but then they would usually wind up going off and getting hired somewhere because women doing comedy were at more of a premium. So we were left with no women in the group, and the only way we could write about anything other than just guys hanging out was to play the women. And then once we were doing it, we made a very conscious choice that we never wanted to get a laugh because we were playing women. We wanted the female characters to just be accepted as characters in the scenes. We didn't want, like, Milton Berle laughs. And I got to say, to be fair, part of the inspiration for the way we did women actually did come from Python, but not from their TV show. It actually, in the movie The Meaning of Life, especially it's the, I think, the scene where death is at the dinner table. Michael Palin and Terry Jones, I think, are women in the scene. And their women are just dead-on accurate.
One of Foley's most dead-on accurate female characters is a hooker named Jocelyn.
What would you say if aliens came down and tried to pick us up?
Would they pay us in our own money?
No, in alien money.
No, I would not fall for that again. No.
Okay. I would.
The kids often had creative differences about what should make it into a show and what shouldn't. Foley says there was an upside to the yelling, the fighting, and the anger.
Definitely having to go through the group and get notes from everyone, that definitely had an upside. You know, as a group, we were very good at giving notes. Sometimes we'd be way off base, but mostly you'd get good notes. And most of the time, you knew if you could get support for a piece from at least two other guys, you could probably get it done. Rarely would you get all five people on board. Everyone would have some piece where they, oh, I hate that sketch. I can't believe we're doing that sketch. In retrospect, we were mostly wrong about those.
It's been more than a decade since the kids in the hall created their innovative TV sketch comedy, but their work seems as fresh as ever. Why?
I don't know. No? I'm glad to hear it does. It's hard for me to judge. I guess part of it was that we were consciously, for the most part, not topical. There's not a lot of pop culture references in our stuff, and there's not a lot of flat-on satire of current events. So none of the jokes require that you're versed in whatever happened in the news that day. You know, our stuff is much more about how people interact, and if there's politics in it, it's usually expressed in the characters and in more of a domestic situation.
Yeah, there were a lot of sketches that involved families and also a lot of sketches that took on big business, corporate types, business executives.
Yeah, I think family, because I don't think any of us had a good family. None of us came from good families. We all came from pretty messed up childhoods. And business, because it was a mystery to us.
Dave Foley is an actor, writer, and a member of the Canadian sketch comedy group The Kids in the Hall. He spoke with his fellow Canadian, to the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gordon. The Kids in the Hall recently created 90 minutes of new material, which they tested in front of live audiences in Los Angeles. Dave Foley says there's a chance the kids may reunite for another tour or to do another film.